Hi, I'm Jessica Steinberg.
And I'm Amanda Borchel-Dunn. Welcome to the Times of Israel's Daily Briefing.
Your update on what's important in Israel, the Middle East,
and the Jewish world.
Hi there, welcome to the Times of Israel's Daily Briefing. It's Monday, January 3rd. I'm Jessica Steinberg. I'm joined this morning by Tech Israel editor Ricky Ben-David and health and science correspondent Nathan Jaffai. Hello to you both.
Hi, Jessica. Hi, Ricky.
Hey, Jess.
Okay, what do we have today? Certainly feels like Omicron is drawing closer to us here in Israel. I know that one of my kids' grades didn't have school yesterday so that all the seventh graders could go get PCR or antigen testing. For now, they're in school, but plenty of elementary schools and high schools are online. Nathan, give us the update on Omicron, herd immunity, the fact that one third of Israelis will possibly get Omicron within the next few weeks, and we have Florona as well.
Well, when we say fact, let's say prediction, and let's say that if I were in politics now, I think exactly what I would be doing is making the very worst predictions so that you can't be proved wrong. It's a pretty smart strategy. Does it mean that a third of Israelis are going to get Omicron? It's possible, but I would not necessarily jump to that conclusion. I think we have a government at the moment that was kind of burnt by the experiences of past governments, so has an obvious kind of interest in covering itself in terms of the predictions. The reality is that, yes, Omicron is a highly infectious variant of coronavirus, which means that it is spreading quickly and will spread quickly. You know, it's quite quaint or twee to think that just a few weeks ago we were counting the numbers of Omicron cases and kind of, you know, keeping a very close eye on them. You know, Omicron is just going to be growing. This is going to be kind of a fact of life in Israel, as in many parts of the world, over the coming days and weeks. We don't know exactly the extent of the infection. What we do know, however, is that the rules have changed so that those people who are not vaccinated will be in quarantine, as we understand already. Those people who are vaccinated upon contact will have to have a test or do have to have a test. And one of the reasons that this is happening is because it was very clear that the cases were growing so quickly that if that didn't happen, if there wasn't some kind of easing of those restrictions, and we did have kind of everyone who was had a contact going into quarantine, some kind of system like this, then we would actually see what was described as kind of a de facto lockdown, that there would be so many people in quarantine that there wouldn't be enough other people around to deliver the takeaway meals. So one of the other things that we've been looking at on the Times of Israel, there's quite an in-depth piece on the website at the moment, is this question of herd immunity. Or to be more precise, there was a suggestion that was raised that perhaps the government should be looking at a policy of herd immunity through infection by basically accepting the fact that infection will be so far and wide that basically immunity will come this way. And kind of, you know, there are voices for and against such a plan. It's not clear how serious the discussion is in government. But I did write quite an in-depth piece looking at this concept. And as with many topics that you get into to do with the pandemic, it's obviously more complex than it first seems. Because I guess the crux of the issue is, okay, you could have very widespread infection. What's going to be the impact on hospitals? What's going to be the extent of serious cases if you really kind of allow the infection to go pretty wild, as you would with some concept of, hey, saying, you know, let's go for herd immunity. Let's not be so careful about stopping the spread of the infection. What would be the impact of that on hospitals? How many seriously ill, seriously sick people would we have? Research from abroad suggests that Omicron is less severe than other variants in terms of the illness that it causes. However, as I outline in the piece, there are certain difficulties with taking data from other countries because it's not a copy-paste scenario and circumstances are different. So there's a lot of kind of things up in the air regarding whether Israel might take such a policy, how that might work.
So the fact that we close the borders, I'm going a little bit in a different direction here. We closed the borders for a few weeks in December. in a sense, watching what was happening in other countries and trying to stem the flow into Israel. And now we have a little bit more information, or is that not necessarily how you would look at it?
No, I think that is right. I think there was an element of surprise in the degree to which closing the borders did seem to slow the process. It was clear from the start that this variant, if it got in here, would kind of grow very quickly. But certainly it does seem that closing those borders actually slowed that process, actually gave the hospital some breathing space, allowed Israel to bring in those Pfizer pills that have come in now, and also allowed a lot of data to get in place. So it was helpful in a sense. Whether it was the right policy or not, that's for our readers to debate, but there does seem to have been some benefits in purely the health criteria.
And finally, there's pieces up on the site about Florona, flu and corona, and bird flu. Do you want to take a stab at either one of those? Tell us what we're looking at there.
Yeah. So, I mean, these are, although they sound kind of connected, these are separate topics, because one of the topics is a combination of flu and corona. They are, you know, we have seen a tiny number of cases of people having flu and corona. I think there's been one documented case and others more anecdotally. And, you know, it's just a numbers game. So two things on this, Jessica. Firstly, flu and corona. Yes, it is possible that we may see them coming together. It seems that it is possible for a patient to have them together, which obviously could add to the extent of their illness. It's also the case that hospitals, if they're under strain from both flu and corona, have an added burden, which is obviously cause for concern. And on a kind of related but kind of separate issue, we have seen a lot of cases of bird flu. We're talking about avian flu among birds. I stress and emphasize that we're talking at the moment purely among birds, not among humans. But there is a concern, as I wrote last week, that this could potentially cross over to humans and give us, you know, exactly what we need, which is another health concern to be dealing with at the moment. But I do stress that I do emphasize for our readers, for our listeners, that is not something that has happened. That is just a potential scenario that doctors and scientists are mulling over and kind of just trying to work out the risk of that.
Yes, it was not fun to read about that, though. But thank you for making that clarification, Nathan. Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a moment. Hey, it's Jessica Steinberg. If you have an important message you'd like to share with people who care deeply about Israel and the Jewish world, there's really no better way to do that than by advertising in our podcasts. Reach the Times of Israel's unique community with an audio ad. For more information, email ads@timesofisrael.com. That's ads@timesofisrael.com.
I got married this Monday in the middle of a war.
You are not a soldier anymore. You are 50 years old. What is the matter with you?
It's like a couple of kilometers from here. Like, my friend has a 4x4. Let's just go cut across the fields and go get him.
Israel Stories, Wartime Diaries. Voices that try to capture slivers of life right now.
And he told me, take with you a sleeping bag and a tent and just go.
I texted him after I was told that he was killed.
From their eyes, I was a traitor.
Everybody needs their blankie, their teddy bear, something to make them feel safe.
I'm just another grandfather looking after his grandchild while his son is off at war.
These children of Hamas now will be the killer of my children.
I desperately wanted to talk about sex during my eulogy for Ido.
Everyone has to choose to be optimistic because we don't have room for pessimism.
Check out Israel Story wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. Ricky, you've got a story coming up about Israel's need for a national food tech plan in order to stay ahead. So are we talking about more plant-based and 3D printed burgers, hydroponic lettuce? What is a food tech plan? Please tell us.
Right. So it's in three main categories in which Israel is currently, you know, very, very strong. The report is actually by the Good Food Institute. It's an American nonprofit with an Israeli branch since 2019. And they put out a comprehensive report that calls for Israel to have a national strategy for the years ahead to take its food tech industry forward and to also, you know, come out on top in terms of research. It's already leading in that sense, but this will hopefully push the industry forward if it goes through. The local food tech industry has grown very quickly in the past 5 to 6 years. And in 2021, 40% of investments in food tech went to Israeli companies. And Israel is you know, its main strength are in three areas. It's the plant-based proteins, so, you know, vegan options, 3D printed vegan burgers based on pea protein, sometimes chickpeas, it really depends. And you have leading companies like Savoreat and Redefined Meat. And then you have also the plant-based yogurts and dairy-like products and plant-based eggs. It's quite a few companies in this space. The second category is fermentation. Companies that are developing fermentation processes to produce proteins in things like dairy. So you have companies like Remilk and Imagine Dairy. And then you have the biggest category, which is cultured meat. It's lab-made meat, like chicken and beef, made from cells and grown in bioreactors. And that is based on very strong science, where you have people who are very established in fields like biomedical engineering. For example, Professor Shulamit Levenberg of Aleph Farms and Professor Yaakov Nachmias of Future Meat, where he's the co-founder. And Future Meat actually recently raised the largest single investment for a food tech company, something like $350 million, to build a facility in the U.S. And according to this specific report by the Good Food Institute, there are something like 35 scientific labs currently working on different food technologies. Every major university has one or more labs doing this. And so there's very, very strong research on this. And the report notes that this puts Israel at an advantage that must be nurtured and supported to stay ahead, because other countries are catching up or are even ahead already. For example, Singapore is already ahead in terms of regulation. It approved the sale of cultured chicken back in December 2020. And countries like Germany and Denmark have serious national plans to take their food tech industries forward. At the end of the day, the idea is for countries to start thinking or start moving forward plans to secure better food supplies sustainably to help the environment and reduce the harms of modern animal farming, for example. And the report notes that it's a global race. And if Israel wants to stay ahead, to take a leading role, it needs to have a plan. So the proposal is to invest something like $500 million over the next 10 years to establish more labs, give research grants, draw up programs to attract more people from different scientific fields and generally other fields to the food tech industry, establish innovation hubs and have, you know, a strong base to support new startups. So new startups, you know, will develop new technologies to take the industry forward.
Is the idea to sort of align a little bit, like not have so many different companies or labs making plant-based burgers and divide and conquer a little bit? Or is competition still a part of it within Israel?
It's so early that competition is very, very healthy. And generally, competition is healthy. At the moment, it is kind of a race to have like the best tasting plant-based burger, for example, or the best, you know, taste, the most real life like cultured meat. So it's actually a really good thing to have all these technologies come together in these different companies. But certainly in the next few years, some of them will not succeed and others will. And that's, you know, the idea is to support this ecosystem to move it forward.
And I know you've written about 3D burgers and plant-based burgers, but how has it been actually on the actual eating experience, on the eating front?
So I tasted the plant-based burger, the 3D printed plant-based burger by Savoreat, and it was actually very, very good.
Wild.
Yeah, it was very close to the real thing. And as a fan, you know, I've eaten vegan and vegetarian burgers all my life. So it was really, really good in that sense.
Okay, so you're recommending it. All right, I'll sign up for one of those meals. That's how it works. You have to sign up and get one of those invitations. All right, well, thank you for ending this on a good note, given the concerns and worries we have about Omicron. It's good to know that there's things like food tech out there. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you, Ricky. Have a very good Monday. Thanks for joining us on today's Daily Briefing, and we hope to have you here tomorrow. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Times of Israel's Daily Briefing. And thanks to our producer, Gilad Brownstein, and to Gili Amar for this out-of-this-world music.
You can find us daily wherever you find your podcasts.
And on our mothership, timesofisrael.com. Like what you hear? Consider rating us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify to spread the word.
And be sure to check out our weekly feature, Times Will Tell, released every Friday. Until next time.
Shalom.
Hi, it's Sarah Tuttle-Singer from the Times of Israel. Come join our community and support fast and fair independent journalism. You can sign up with the link at the bottom of every single article on the site.